Hello again. Welcome back to the Vox Pop. I'm Josh Colonnais. No, I'm not. I'm Alan Chartok. Last month, 8 U.S. senators from both sides of the aisle, including Florida's Marco Rubio, Arizona's John McCain, and led by New York's senior senator Charles Schumer, introduced a compromise bill for comprehensive federal immigration reform. The bill includes a so-called path to citizenship for those immigrants currently in the country illegally. Unauthorized immigrants would also be able to apply to receive legalized status known as registered provisional immigrant status. They would also be required to pay a $500 fine, but those eligible for the DREAM Act, part of the bill, which provides a path to citizenship to those brought illegally as children, would be exempt from the fine. The path to legalization would be conditional on the initialization of two strategies to strengthen border security, including a comprehensive southern border security strategy and a southern border fencing strategy. The measure includes a total of $4.5 billion for such programs. We want to know what you think about immigration reform, and we welcome two guests with a regional perspective. Joining me in the studio is Brooke Mead, Program Director of the Berkshire Immigrant Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, a wonderful lady, who and which assists individuals and families in making the economic, psychological, and cultural adjustment to a new land, advocates for the rights of immigrants from all backgrounds, and aims to build bridges of understanding and cooperation across cultures. And that's the Berkshire Immigrant Center in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Also joining us via telephone from Boston is Frank Saltz, Communication Director with the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, known as MIRA, the largest organization in New England promoting the rights of and integration of immigrants and refugees. Brooke, Frank, welcome to the Brooke. It says Brooke Frank, but you're Brooke Mead. Is that which is which?
Frank's on the line. I'm Brooke Mead.
Oh, I see. Brooke, comma Frank. Welcome to the Box Pop. Frank, are you there? Hello? No, he's not there. He cut out. Okay. You can all give us a call on any aspect of this at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us, and this is what you probably ought to do, at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, everybody, now let's talk about it. So Brooke, I guess I want to ask you this, Brooke Mead. I want to ask you question number one. What do you make of this bill? Is it, as you see it, a fair way to go?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, I think, you know, considering some of the proposals that we've had in the past, and as you know, Alan, we haven't had one since 2007 that really had a chance of passing.
And that was in a Republican administration.
And it was. And people are often, confused by that. It's often thought that it's just the Democratic Party that's pro-immigration reform, but that's not entirely true. But I do think, of course, we're never going to come up with something that is absolutely perfect for everyone. It's really important to find compromise in this. And I think that this is a pretty good bill.
Well, interestingly, there are those. First of all, I'm fascinated by the way things have changed. I was just talking about this to a class. You know, just a few years ago, we had, you know, some schmageggy on the tube all the time, yelling and screaming, "This is terrible. We got to get them out of here. We got to move 11 million or 12 million people out of the United States." And indeed, it was terrible. And now, all of a sudden, we have a presidential election, and basically the Republicans go, "Whoops, I guess we shouldn't have been that way," because all of a sudden everybody is racing to sort of embrace the immigrants who are in the United States. And it's really something, isn't it?
It is. I think that people are learning the lesson that, hate is divisive, and people don't like politics of fear. I think that's what we're learning as a country in general. Immigrant families, people who are of second and third generation, also don't like it when you talk about new immigrants coming in as taking something away versus contributing something. You know, we are a nation of immigrants, and that's how we were founded. So unless you're 100% Native American, your family came from somewhere else too.
And you know, I often think about that because even if you're 100% Native American, and maybe you came over from a land bridge from Europe.
Right.
1-800-348-2551. We want to know how you feel about, it's Vox Pop after all. We want to know how you feel about this. Zach, I take it our guest is not there yet. Okay, he disappeared. So now it's just you and me, kid. So the issue is, how do you feel? Do you think that we're on the right track? Do you think we're on the wrong track? Do you think, in fact, that you can relate to the people who are here? In my town of Great Barrington, I can tell you right now, a good deal of the infrastructure of the place is run by immigrants, and doing jobs that I suspect a lot of other people don't or can't do. And if you ever want to see the definition of hustle, these folks really know how to work and how to work hard. Whether their kids end up doing that, I don't know. But I certainly know that that they have it and are grateful to be here. And it's a very nice thing to see. But these folks are all open to exploitation. And that's something you worry about, don't you?
Of course. And I also worry about how that affects other U.S.-born workers who are working with these folks at the same time. I mean, I think we have to understand it, that if there's exploitation for one group of people, the people working with them are also being exploited at the same time. So if you have unsafe work conditions, it's for everyone, you know. And we definitely worry that people are less likely to report if they're having problems at work, if they're being abused. Immigrants are definitely less likely to report crime, and they're more likely to be victims of certain crimes, and that makes us all less safe.
Well, no, you head up this coalition, and I wanted to ask you something. Have you heard any horror stories?
Yeah, all the time. I've been here for 11 years.
Could you tell us some of them?
What kind of horror story?
Well, in other words, somebody who a boss has exploited didn't pay when they said they were going to get paid.
Yeah, I was just reminded yesterday about a client of mine from Mexico who was working in a local farm and was kicked by a very dangerous horse that he had been reporting, and because he was being paid under the table and didn't have papers, the employer did absolutely nothing to help him. He had an arm broken in several places. It took him about a year to recover. Terrible things, you know. And then things like I know a family, two U.S. citizen kids. The mom is a dreamer. She's here on deferred action. And the dad is in immigration proceedings.
A dreamer as in the Dream Act.
As in the Dream Act. So she came here when she was 5, actually. She's in her 20s. She's a Girl Scout leader.
And the Dream Act is for those kids of immigrants, of people who are undocumented, who come here,
right,
and who have under this new Dream Act have a chance to stay and to become citizens.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's go to Mary in Beacon. Okay, Mary in Beacon, you're on.
Hi. I hope this is clear. I'm calling because I listened to two different programs on this bill that I just wanted to share what I heard.
Sure.
One is the $500 fee is actually happens twice. They have to prove that they have had a job for a certain amount of time, and at the end of that time they have to pay another $500 fine, and then I believe I heard that then they have to pay another $1,000 when they actually get their citizenship to when they actually apply. So but there's a total of about $2,000 that they have to pay, which could be very difficult for some of these immigrants, and keeping a job for that long could also be difficult. And then I listened to some immigrant voices on May Day, that a show, and it was very interesting. There's a lot of good, and a lot of younger and older people feel there's a lot of good, but they just wanted a place at the table that they could, you know, talk about what's good for them and what they see as not so good, and so that the dialogue gets opened up so that these people have a voice in this bill.
Brooke,
so that's what I want
okay.
to offer.
We'll give Brooke a chance. Mary, thanks. Stay on the line. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mary, thank you so much for bringing this up. Anyone who's calling this amnesty has not read the bill because it is quite complex. There are a number of hoops that you have to jump through to even be able to qualify. And then there would be a $500 fine. So that's in addition to filing your paperwork. Now, right now, to file for a green card is about $1,070 plus a $200 to $300 medical exam. So plus, if you have to involve a legal service organization or an attorney, it's going to be quite hefty. Then you have to, you also have to prove that you have paid every piece of tax since you came here. We'll see how that pans out. And then in 6 years, you can apply for this again. And then in 10 years, you can apply for your permanent residency after your registered provisional residency. So it is not an easy path, but it is a path.
But once you're online, once you've done the original thing, then your fear of being kicked out is much less than it is right now, right?
Exactly. But the difference is that then you have 6 years during which you have to earn this. You're going to have to take a citizenship test, very similar to the 100-question test that naturalization applicants take today. Obviously, you're going to have to make sure that you're staying out of trouble. You're not going to be eligible for most benefits, just like you aren't now. I think it's really important to stress that my clients don't look for a handout. They just want a level playing field, as you're saying, Mary.
Well, talk to me about it, that amnesty thing. Of course, I'm very sympathetic to this. I think it's a wonderful road we're going down. But talk to Mary and to me about this amnesty thing, because there are people who say, no. These people did not apply for coming into this country the right way, which is, you know, to get a visa, to do this, to do that. And they snuck across the border. And therefore, they are, no matter how you phrase it, they're being given amnesty.
Well, I would say, first of all, let's look at the alternative. You know, we've been living with over 11 million people in the shadows, and that's affecting our economy and that's affecting our country. So the truth is, if we had the power to, or if it was in our best interest to deport 11 million people, we would do so, Ellen. We would find the way to do so. And we haven't, because we're benefiting economically. Because we can't, and we're benefiting economically, right? So I think, you know, I think we have to, at this point, acknowledge that there's something we have to fix, and acknowledge the fact that our system hasn't been overhauled since 1965. And when a lot of our relatives came here, it was a matter of showing up on a boat. And I don't mean to oversimplify anything, but it was much less difficult to immigrate here.
Our guest is Brooke Mead. The other guest dropped out. Mary, thank you very much for your wonderful call. Appreciate it. And Brooke, thanks for the great answer. And we're going to take a short break. Then Evan will be the first guy when we come back. Just 7 seconds. Go ahead.
Support for WAMC comes from NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. Albany Pro Musica performing Haydn's Lord Nelson Mass with guest conductor Dr. Timothy Newton this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. AlbanyProMusica.org. Smith College Museum of Art presenting second Friday, May 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. Art and Activities for Children and Adults featuring Collecting Art of Asia, smith.edu/artmuseum. Saratoga Health and Wellness, a fitness facility offering exercise, nutrition, personal training, and weight loss programs, saratogahealthandwellness.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org.
We are back with the wonderful Brooke Mead. Brooke, perhaps you could just tell us something about your work very quickly, and then we'll get right back to the phones, okay?
Yeah, I work at the Berkshire Immigrant Center in Pittsfield, and we help welcome newcomers to the area, help people navigate the immigration system, and educate non-immigrants about the great contributions that immigrants make to our communities.
Are people afraid to come to see you because they may be undocumented?
Yeah, for a long time they were. I think there was a lot of confusion. Sometimes people call us the Berkshire Immigration Center, and that makes you think that we're the immigration service, which we're not. But I think we've gained a reputation now for, you know, everything being confidential. And I've been there for 11 years. The director's been there for 13. So we have a lot of connections.
Is it rewarding work?
It's the most amazing thing that's ever happened.
Ah, great. Yeah. That's terrific. Love to hear that. Let's go to Evan in Goshen, Massachusetts. Evan, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
If I understood the introduction properly, none of this goes into effect until after we've secured our, quote, southern, unquote, border, meaning walling off Mexico. who has to be satisfied that that's done properly before the rest of it goes into implementation? Because if it's the hardliners, they may never be happy with a mere $4 billion fence.
Yeah, that's a concern, Evan, definitely, with the current bill. And I also would say that our border is more secure than ever, and illegal crossings are at a 40-year all-time low. So it's kind of seems like one of those things where we already have a secure border, but this is just really looking tough on something that we're already tough on. It's worrisome because I think there's a number of parties that have to be satisfied, but it would include getting feedback from governors along the border, some of whom have passed some very anti-immigrant bills in some recent years. It's not any of it, though, Evan. You know, you could still come out of the shadows and register for this this provisional immigrant status. So it's just that you wouldn't be able to eventually get a green card, which is what you need to have overall security that you could eventually go towards citizenship.
Okay. So, because I could see some of those guys just saying, you know, I'm sorry, this is... Yeah, because if the economy changes and the pressure becomes a little greater, the magic of the marketplace will take hold again, and I think more people will find ways across the wall, no matter how big the wall is.
And I agree with you, and I think that, you know, that's something that you should hopefully, you know, you might want to call your senators and congressmen eventually about when this goes to the House, because this is something that we're concerned about. However, it seems to be a deal breaker for some people. So,
I understand. All right. Thank you very much.
Evan, thanks for calling. All right. So now we're going to go to Carl in Palatine Manor. Okay, Carl, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, Carl.
348-2551. Don't forget, folks. I love the name of your guest, having just listened to a magnificent Kentucky Derby. Brookmead Stables.
Okay, but Carl, I know that you always call with some interesting insights. What is yours today?
Here's my insight. I had some good friends. I think this is another boondoggle for lawyers on K Street. And I think that old friends reminded me one time playing golf and stopping after 9 holes and having too many beers. Hey, guess where on this immigrant question? Guess where my father and mother came from? They came into the U.S. illegally through Canada from Ireland. I said, no, you must be kidding. He said, no, it's true. And you can't believe how many other people around here, some of whom are congressmen I can name, I won't, who had a similar experience. So all this attention is focused on Arizona. Of course, there's an obvious problem there. And there's tremendous money flow back and forth, mostly cash under the table.
Okay, but Carl, you got to make a point real fast. Go ahead.
My point for your guest is I think this is a boondoggle for K Street lawyers, just like the whole business about Obamacare or Dodd-Frank bill and all this stuff.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen. I would like her to comment on that.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't know that it needs a comment. Let's go to Tom in Catskill. Tom in Catskill, you're on.
Yes, quite a coincidence. The gentleman just ahead of me was making the same point.
Maybe you can make it a little differently.
No, I'll say anything I want to, Alan. Thank you. I believe we've got like 500,000 Irishmen living totally illegal in the Boston area. I think I heard that on National Public Radio.
It's one of my favorite statistics, actually, the 50,000 undocumented Irish, because you're right, we do tend to focus on other countries like our neighbor to the south.
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, this is racism and nothing but. Thank you.
Thank you. But there you go. Good riddance. Let's talk to Dan in Albany. Dan.
Hello?
Hey, Dan, you're on.
You're able to hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Hi. This is about legal immigration, my question. I'm a software engineer, and I came to America in 1999, and my wife is a doctor, and we have applied for a green card in 2002. It's been 11 years, and we're still on hold. So my question is, we've been paying taxes, we have bought a house, we're doing everything, we are contributing to the society. My daughter goes to school here. What about people like us? Like, we've always told that, yeah, like, you know, you're in the queue and, you know, no answer, nothing. So what is the program for people like us who have been here, who have done everything, and still there is no guidance that when we'll get the green card?
That's a fantastic point. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, over two-thirds of all PhDs in the STEM fields come from foreign-born individuals. So in addition to filling jobs that sometimes Americans are unwilling to fill, we have an amazing influx of computer programmers and doctors and lawyers. My OB is Canadian. So anyway, I want to say that the bill proposes to fix that as well, Dan. I think that that's one of the many parts of our immigration system that's broken. And what we've been fighting for years is to get a comprehensive solution. So there has been a lot of focus on this, on the undocumented population. But the truth is that the bill is much more than that. It is ridiculous that you and your wife would have to wait 11 years. It is ridiculous that she is a doctor and that we need doctors and that she would have to wait that long for a green card and that you had been contributing. We need you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
The bill would address this.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Bye, Dan.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. You're on, Jonathan.
Hi. Can we just concentrate on the whole issue of what happens in order to get everybody out of the shadows and to process everybody to at least a green card status? Because as the previous caller pointed out, he's making a great deal of contributions to this society. And I assume we'll get no retirement benefits, Social Security benefits in the situation in which he's in, although he and his employer will be paying FICA and things like that. So ignoring the citizenship issue, which I think is the issue that stops a lot of people being in favor of immigration reform, how is it going to work for people who are here, people who want to come here and work here before they get the whole issue of citizenship?
Okay, that's a question. Answer?
Right. So one of the great things about this bill, if it does pass in this form, is that there would be a merits-based immigration system, which is not what we have now. So somebody in the position who had a great deal of education, especially immigration garnered in the United States, who had family ties here, who had lived here and worked here for a number of years, would be more readily eligible for a green card. And there's also a proposal for more less highly skilled visas as well to be available and put somebody on the track to permanent residency faster, because as it stands right now, we're losing a lot of the best and brightest. But, you know, I do want to say that you're right. Immigrants will pay in the average that they estimate is $80,000 more in taxes than they will ever receive in benefits in their lifetime. And that is not new. You know, that's something that's been around for the last 100 years. But people came because they wanted a life, a better life for their families and their kids. And they really believed that they could get it here. And I think that's just simple, you know, human dignity.
What happens to the people who are currently here who are undocumented? How do we get them to a green card status?
Well, first,
because if they're employed, which often they are, even they often pay taxes, right?
Right. And so the idea, and who knows how this will actually work, because you can only, I think, file for 3 years back in taxes in terms of how we have our system now. But the idea is that supposedly from the moment that you came in, you have to go back and prove that you paid any taxes that you would have had to. So for people who are working with a different Social Security number that is not theirs, that's not an issue because taxes are taken out. Social Security is taken out. You just don't get the credit for it. And nor will you ever, as you have pointed out, if you're undocumented. It's harder for people working under the table, whether they're U.S. born or not. Obviously. But so the idea would be that they would come out of the shadows and register for this provisional status. And then it would be obviously because they had work authorization, would be much easier to track all of these benefits things. So they would be getting credit for the years that they had put in at that point. And then eventually they would become a permanent resident. Now they're talking 10 years down the road from now. And what most people might not know is that then you have to wait 5 years to become a citizen after you become a resident.
Well, I get that, but I'm thinking about it step by step. I mean, if in order to get this bill through, mm-hmm. you had to discard the whole issue of citizenship, but you get everybody to a green card status.
Right.
Wouldn't that be an achievement worth making?
Well, I agree that it is, and I agree that most of the undocumented people that I've worked with would agree that it is too, even though it's a big trade-off, right? It's a
sure.
long time, but I believe that people would want that.
Okay, Jonathan, that's you for today. We thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Okay. Let's go to William in Duanesburg, 1-800-348-2551. William, you're on.
Thank you for taking the call, and actually, sure. Thanks to WMC for discussing this very important issue. I just want to make two quick points. A lot of people talk about building this wall between Mexico and the United States. About 40% of the undocumented immigration into this country comes from people flying in from Europe and other parts of the world and overstaying their visas. So it's not just the Mexico-U.S. border type of thing. The second thing is that we need to see this immigration reform and the struggle. Well, why hasn't it become law yet? As the struggle to control what's left as human labor, which is a human resource. We don't have the Carnegies that control steel anymore, the Rockefellers that do the oil, or the J.P. Morgans who do the huge finance. So here we are, politicians trying to control human labor across borders. And what I find is really degrading about this bill is that we continue to allow low-wage workers in this country while our rates of unemployment in inner cities and inner-city youth is horrendously high. So we allow folks to bring in youth to run their resorts from Romania or from Ireland when we have people in South Boston or somewhere downtown Hartford, instead of working in resorts in Rhode Island and Boston, bringing these kids in to have summer jobs, we'll actually go abroad and bring in folks to do this kind of work, undermining youth being able to get a job and help their families and so forth. I'd like to know what your guest thinks about continuing to bring in low-wage workers to compete with the unemployment rate in the United States, which is as high as it is.
Now, that's a good question. Brooke Mead?
Yeah, I mean, I would ultimately say that I think, I think we need to look at what's happening in the United States sometimes when we say things like jobs that Americans aren't willing to take or aren't doing, right? So I think part of this is, if there are people who are willing to take these jobs for less money, is it really worth that less money? You know, are we as Americans turning down jobs, or do employers need to pay higher wages? You know, I mean, I think it's a complex issue that you're bringing up. But I will say that study after study says that ultimately immigrants in low wage areas are not competing with the unemployment rate. But I think it's important, you know, like you said, for us to make sure that if we are bringing in lower wage workers, for example, that that's tied to the fact that we have those jobs, right? And that we're somehow not undermining our economy. At this point, I don't think that that's what's happening, but in this bill, there is a provision written in that would only allow workers in those areas when we could prove that the economy could support it.
And William, do you find that to be the case?
No, I don't think that that what we're doing is taking jobs away by letting folks who are going to work in mushroom farms knee-deep in manure in Pennsylvania. Well, I understand your guest's point on that completely, but I know that within the resort industry all over this country, we continue to allow youth from other parts of Europe to come in instead of hiring Black, Hispanic, Asian youth in inner cities who are struggling with their families to pay rent, to buy food. I think that alone undermines the ability of poor folks, American-born citizens who are in poverty trying to dig their way out of poverty, pay for college by having a summer job in one of these resorts, but they'd rather bring in some kid from Georgia or Scandinavia to come in and work for the summer at a lower wage. I think that's a problem.
Okay, Brooke?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I would say I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about this J-1 work travel program that's generally 2 months of worth, 1 month of travel, and you've got to be in college for it. But, you know, we have a lot of summer camps in the Berkshires, for example,
yeah,
that do recruit. And, of course, this is capped. You know, it's not an infinite number of people who can come in. But at the same time, you know, I would say the camps will say, I can't find people. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know how we connect these workers, you know, who are in inner city situations with these camp jobs in Massachusetts. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's part of the conversation, though.
What about work ethic, William? That's the other issue.
There's always been this old debate about the people who struggle to make a living south of the border or in the developed world who come here will work four or five jobs to live the American dream.
Or work harder at the job they get.
Oh, right, or that as well.
Or take shifts so that other people don't want to take, you know what I mean, and take less vacation days. I mean, that's kind of part of it.
Right. I mean, those are great points. So I'm totally in agreement with you. And I think it's hard to change. We just hosted a Chinese student, an exchange program in our home, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in school. That's all they want to do is study. How do we compete with that? You know, I mean, when folks, you know, our kids just want to tune into, you know, YouTube or get online and, you know, social network all day. And I think these are huge problems that we can't solve through immigration debate. But I think that whatever we do, we need to kind of protect the dignity of the workers who are already, who are here, and the Americans who are here looking for work.
William, thank you for the wonderful
call. Thank you very
much. Thanks, appreciate it. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to go to Jill and Dan and Martha and anybody else who calls.
Support for WAMC comes from Woodstock School of Art, offering classes and workshops in drawing, painting, printmaking, sculpture, and more for all levels. Tuition assistance available, woodstockschoolofart.org. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing bonded composites and air abrasion decay removal, which helps to eliminate needles and drills. PaduladDDS.com. Boyd and Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services in a Massachusetts inspection station for over 40 years. BoydandPerron.com. Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing high-efficiency gas and oil heating systems to the Pioneer Valley for over 45 years. Now expanding into the Westfield area, RichardsFuel.com. And Proctor's, presenting the Cole Porter musical comedy Anything Goes, featuring Broadway actress Rachel York, July 9th through 14th, proctors.org.
So, my friends, welcome back to the Vox Pop. We'll be talking to Jill in 1 second. I just want to make it clear that there is one free phone open. One, it's got your name on it, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jill in Waterford. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi, Alan. I would like you to correct me if I am wrong about this. I have been hearing all along from anybody, politicians and others, who have said one of the conditions is that the person has to, quote-unquote, get to the back of the line and behind people who are, you know, quote-unquote, trying to come in legally. And I had heard that this could be a 13-year process. Now, if I'm wrong, please correct me, but from where I'm sitting, the reason that people are coming here illegally is because it takes so long to get to where you can be legal.
Yes.
So if you've got to wait 13 years, what is that solving?
Well, the thing is that it would give you a temporary legal status. Do you know what I mean, Jill? So the difference is that, so for example, I had a client this morning from Peru. She's a naturalized U.S. citizen, and she would like to bring in her brothers and sisters. Well, she happens to be from, it's all of the countries except for four, where the wait is like 12 years before her siblings could come in. It's a very long time, as you've pointed out. And she was saying, well, maybe they could come on a tourist visa and wait, or maybe they could come on a student visa. No, you still have to wait out those times.
Right.
If you could find a way to stay here legally in the meantime, then you could eventually take advantage of the green card from your sibling. But most people can't, right? So the difference, what this would solve is that it would give you... The two things that people want are to be able to have a work permit of sorts, right? And then some sort of mobility. So right now, you can't get a Massachusetts driver's license. You can't get a New York State driver's license. There's really no public transportation in the Berkshires to speak of. So it's a really, really big issue.
But it also gives you a certain amount of protection. You don't walk
right
out the door
right
and look both ways thinking today may be my last day in the United
you
States.
You don't worry when you
so
pick up your
word,
child from school.
Yeah, right.
So in other words, when they say get to the back of the line and wait, they're not telling you, because this was the other thing I heard that I think you've already dispelled, that the person has to go back to their country of origin.
No,
and wait.
That would be a deal breaker. So the other thing is it would give you an option to travel back and forth to a certain extent. I mean, I have a client who's stuck here whose mother's dying in a diabetic coma in El Salvador. And if he leaves, he's out. It's done. You know, it's over. So it would give you the ability to travel when necessary to your country of origin. It would give you the ability to have a driver's license. But as I'm saying this, the 13 years comes from the fact that they're saying everybody who has a family-based petition, or, you know, our earlier caller who talked about he and his wife being applied for their green cards through employment, those people would all have to receive green cards before any of these people would receive green cards. And it's not my favorite part of the bill. However, again, I think we're going to be happy with the most we can get.
And this is clearly the most you can get, if you can get it.
Right.
Because it still has to go to the House of Representatives. Right. Real question to me is whether the Republicans have learned their lesson from the last election.
I'm skeptical.
I'm hopeful. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning and work at my job.
No, that's true. And maybe they learned something.
Right. And I think ultimately it's great that we're talking about it. You know, even tough questions like the last callers, we need as a country to be able to talk about what works and what doesn't. We need to be able to have logical conversations.
And what's encouraging is guys like McCain and others have gotten in on the bill.
Right.
Hey, Jill, thanks for a great call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Martha in Lakeville, Connecticut. Martha, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. I think Brooke just answered my question.
Great.
Which was, will one of these provisional immigrants be able to return home to their families and see their families?
Yes, they will have permission to travel in and out of the country, probably very similar to that of a permanent resident. A lot of people don't understand that if you're a green card holder, which is a permanent resident, you can't spend more than 6 months out of the year. It might even be a little bit more restrictive. But yes, you'd be able to go if your parent was sick or your child was graduating from high school or something like that was happening.
Can't spend more than 6 months there, you mean?
Well, in total. So not more than 180 days out of the country and not more than 6 months at a time out of the country.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think people don't appreciate is the people that come here do so because the survival of their family back in their home country is so tenuous that to come to the U.S. is a way that the children can go to school, that they can have a house that is more than a shack, that there is food on the table on a regular basis, and Americans scoff at this because they can't believe that that is the degree of poverty which these people are escaping.
Yeah, it is unbelievable how people have to live in other areas of the world. We're very lucky.
Martha, we're moving on, chugging right along here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Okay, over to Mary in Kingston. Mary in Kingston, you're on.
Hello?
Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I just wanted to go back to the guy who was talking about the employment end of it. And I just wanted to say he was kind of jumbling up two different things as far as I could understand. He was like the migrant worker and the people who come here for the summer job from other countries. And I think in this bill, if I'm not mistaken, there is backing by the AFL-CIO?
Yes, it is.
Because I basically think that they want to have the wage raised for the person who is anticipating coming, staying here.
Yes.
To the point of which they are equal.
Yeah.
And so they would not necessarily be a burden. So those jobs out there that are right now being paid a pittance are going to have to pay a decent wage.
And again, they want worker protections and they want people to be able to unionize. And there's a lot, again, there's a lot of people not reporting things, even if you're documented. I don't think I can stress how scary immigration can feel, even if you're a naturalized U.S. citizen from Great Britain.
Yeah, and my parents were naturalized citizens. So, but it was a whole different situation way back then. The other thing I wanted to ask you to address is I think also in this bill, they have to be making at least minimum wage.
I'm not familiar with that provision. I think you have to demonstrate that you have been working a certain amount as a person. And there might be a provision in the bill that is talking about employers paying minimum wage in terms of verification of employment. But I don't think there's anything that specifically says that the immigrant themselves, but that you have to be working. I mean, again, this is not supposed to be a handout.
No, absolutely. And I thought I had read that they had to be making a minimum wage before they could apply.
Mary, I want to let everybody have a chance. We're getting to the end here, so I thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep. 1-800-348-2551. Bernadette in New Paltz. Bernadette, you're on.
I used to live up in the Adirondacks. I lived there for 18 years. And when I moved south to Pennsylvania, it was like night and day. And there's a different world out there where you live, because I think most immigrants from Mexico don't want to live in that cold of a weather, don't want to go that far north. But when you come down here, you see mostly jobs that used to pay well, like cleaning in a mall. I knew somebody who's making $20 an hour working nights in a mall, and now they're all immigrants. You can't even talk to them because they don't speak English. They're working in McDonald's, the whole store, everybody working there is from Mexico, and they don't speak English. They're cutting lawns. Those kind of jobs used to pay really well. They're taking those jobs away. There's a lot of construction jobs. They're mostly contractors that the mall will hire because they're cheaper than them hiring the employees, or it's cheaper to hire
a
contractor.
I think we take your point.
Well, there's another point I wanted to make, too.
Sure.
These people don't come here, and I'm talking about mostly Mexican-Americans, because let's face it, that's what this law is about. These people do not come here to work these jobs and then have their kids work these jobs. They come here to go through the educational system that we provide, and then they go on to college, and they have careers and jobs that are also being taken away from Americans, really high-end jobs. They're very aggressive. They're very sincere. And I'll tell you something, it upsets me, because there's too many Americans that have low-wage jobs that can barely survive, that are struggling in this country. If your statistics aren't showing it, I don't believe it.
Bernadette, you've made your point. Coming around a second time, we're going to go to Brooke now. Brooke, do you want to answer?
Bernadette, I would love to see where you're getting your information from, because quite honestly, it just doesn't play out with the studies that we just...
Hold on, Bernadette, I'm the moderator here.
You know, and there are plenty of Mexicans actually who are up here in this area of the country. Mexicans comprise
this is why I don't like this show.
A third.
Oh, well then, good. You don't like it? Goodbye. Okay, so that's the end of that. Let's go to Edward in Pittsfield. Certainly, we don't want to let the guest have her say. Okay, Edward, you're on.
Yes, well, my question for Brooke is, I'm trying to support someone in navigating and figuring out where to go in order to have a birth certificate and another certificate translated from their native language into English, so that they can then use those to get things like their state ID, their license, renewed visa, and the such.
So you're kind of talking about two different things at the same time, you know, because translation of a document is one thing, and then another thing is sometimes what a document will get you in terms of benefits, like a driver's license. Come to the Berkshire Immigrant Center, www.berkshireic.com. Call, make an appointment, come to the Wednesday walk-in clinic tomorrow morning, and we will be happy to point you or your friend in the correct direction.
Okay, and so I can come there tomorrow morning. Can you give me the address?
Yes, it's 88 South Street in the First Baptist Church, and we have a first-come, first-serve walk-in that starts at 10. So if you come at 9:30, 9:45, you shouldn't hopefully have to wait too long, but I promise to answer all of those questions and more.
Thank you, Edward.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Lisa, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, by the way.
Sure.
Just a quick question. I'm curious to see if this bill has a provision, or what the provision is for these immigrants, since they won't be able to have any sort of payments or benefits. That's the word, benefits.
Yeah.
Until they become citizens. So if they become disabled or if they have an illness, who would cover those costs?
Right. So post-Welfare Reform Act, which was 1996, even legal immigrants, so even green card holders, and there's obviously more than one type of legal immigrant, but green card holder are the permanent residents who have a pathway to citizenship, are barred from federal assistance for the first 5 years that they have their green cards, with very few exceptions, which would be refugees and asylees. States, however, can decide to have programs in certain cases that might help bridge those gaps. So I think that, you know, I think first of all, we have to look at the fact that immigrants don't drain our welfare system. That hasn't been an issue for us in the country. And this is not proposing to include them in more benefits than they already receive now. And, you know, what I see with my clients is that they make it work. You know, they're responsible for a lot more medical costs.
Right, yeah, the medical problems. I mean, that's an issue because they continue to go to the emergency room, which is very costly. So this would be something that the state, it would be a state-by-state decision?
It would, although, you know, and you're right, it is more expensive to go to the emergency room, and we've talked a lot about this in terms of healthcare exchanges, et cetera, but the statistics say that we still spend twice the amount on native-born U.S. citizens than we do on immigrants. But hopefully, you know, we have great programs like Volunteers in Medicine in Great Barrington, community health programs in the Berkshires that really bridge a lot of these gaps so people can get lower cost primary care so they're not having to go to the emergency room. I don't foresee that that's going to cost our country a lot of money. But again, you know, these are things that need to be talked about.
But is that something that you said, is that something that it's in the provision? That it would be handled state by state?
It would be handled state by state, yeah. It's in the provision that they couldn't receive new benefits. That's part of the proposal as it stands.
Lisa, thank you.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay, and let's go to Susan in Pittsfield. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to comment, when I was listening on the radio a little while ago, someone was talking about immigrants taking jobs from young people who are unemployed, who are legal residents of this country. And I would just like to say that in my experience, young people today are not willing to do the kind of work that many immigrants are willing to do.
Right.
And if they are hired for jobs, are not willing to expect to be paid without putting in the work that equals pay.
You're right, you know, and I, you know, the woman who had called before who was talking about some of this stuff, I think we have to ask ourselves, with the crash of the economy, if McDonald's was paying really well, which I have to be honest with you, I don't remember them ever paying really well, but is that sustainable? Again, you know, are people willing to take those jobs? And that's a good question. You know, I think one of the areas where immigrants shine the most is healthcare. Not only as our doctors, but taking care of sick, taking care of disabled, taking care of the elderly. My grandmother was in a nursing home last year, and, you know, her favorite aide was the woman from Peru. You know what I mean? She was, you know, and nothing, not to take away from the native-born Americans who are working there, but that's tough work and it's not paid well. But people do it, and they genuinely like the people they take care of.
And the one that ticked me off, to be honest with you, the call, was that, you know, the children of these people would be getting better jobs. That is as American as apple pie.
Well, right, like that's a bad thing.
And which of us doesn't know that? So Susan, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
1-800-348-2551. But let's take one more call. Greg from Columbus, Ohio. Okay, Greg, you're on.
Hey, I just had a question for your guest to see if she knows if there's any validity to a rumor going around that a lot of the immigrants, they get here, you see about your neighborhood carryouts as owners and your drive-thrus as owners. They say that they get a lot of tax breaks for 5, 6, 7 years. There's people that's been in the country that I've seen for maybe a few years, and I'm a 48-year-old ex-Marine, several years of college. I didn't graduate. I do okay, but folks have been here 2 or 3 years, and they're living better than I am.
Okay, answer.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service, Greg. But if it seems implausible, it's because it's not true. I mean, I'll tell you this. My father-in-law is great and sends me a lot of these kind of mythbusters, like, you know, 23-year-old immigrant making more Social Security than you. You know, no, not true. Tax breaks, not true. Benefits, not true. You know, any prosperity that is happening for this population is pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and working hard.
Hey, Greg, gotta go. So sorry. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
for
the call. Appreciate it. Okay. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to leave Maeve on the line because we are out of time. And I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to Maeve. Thanks to Brooke Mead and the missing Frank Saltz for joining us today. Not joining us today. Anyway, support for Vox Pop comes from the Riverbend Animal Hospital, Route 9 in Hadley, Massachusetts, providing small animal medicine and wellness care, general and referral surgery, canine rehabilitation, laser therapy, and dentistry. RiverbendAnimal.com and the Carrie Haddad Gallery presenting Color Theory paintings by Paul Schuchman and Urban featuring works by seven photographers through May 26th. Carrie Haddad Gallery.com. The Barry Price Architecture since 1996, specializing in residential and institutional buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. Harry Price. PriceArchitecture.com and Skidmore College, a master's program offering individualized graduate studies in a wide range of interdisciplinary fields. Masters at Skidmore.edu. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us today on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/VoxPop. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by the very patient and wonderful Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges, but today was Ian Pickers. I'm Alan Shartok. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, an open forum. Stay tuned now for a news update. I want to thank Brooke Mead once again for the wonderful way in which she conducted herself today. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you, Alan.